I want to first and foremost say thank you so much for having me. I'm glad to be here. Thank you, everyone. Thank you, Setsman. Yes, we got to know through my husband, and I think they've been friends now, maybe like, if they have been here, maybe like 30 years or more. Yes, so but I've been friends with him. I'm sure I've known him for like more than 15 years, definitely, since we got married, you know. So I want to say thank you, sir, for bringing me. I'm saying thank you to Sister Tokumbo. She's not here, but I'm sure she's going to, you know, watch and see this. I want to say thank you to Pastor Muyiwa, to Sister Bukola. I've met Sister Marvel and her husband, and they've been very pleasant. Thank you so much, church. Thank you, leaders, members. Thank you, everyone, for having me. I'm glad to be here. So once again, happy Mother's Day, all mothers. Let's just go around and say happy Mother's Day to somebody quickly. From there, we are going to read the word of God. Just say, get up, please, just stand up and say happy. Only mothers are permitted to sit, okay? The mothers can sit, but please go around, love up on somebody. Love up on somebody and say, I'm glad that you are here. Happy Mother's Day to you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord keep you. May the Lord keep you in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. Okay, so can we quickly return to our seats? God bless you. Thank you for obliging me. Please come back to your seat and please stand to your feet. I notice I'm probably the only one here with Bible. I'm still doing old school, right? I'll get born again very soon. All right, please, media, could you help us and project Judges 5? We're going to read 24 all the way to 27. And I want us to just read it out loud because we know this is the word of God and we believe in it. Amen. I want you to just see the picture printed here about Jael. I want you to see this is a picture of what the Lord expects of us, that we are winning our battles, we are embracing victory. Amen. All right, so what do we have? Is that NKJV? Okay, so we can read all the way from 24. One, two, go. Most blessed among women is Jael, the wife of Eber the Kenite. Blessed is she among women in tents. She asked for water. She gave him milk. She brought out cream in a loudly bowl. She stretched her hand to the tent peg, her right hand to the workman's armor. She pounded Sisera. She pierced his head. She split and struck through his temple. At her feet, he sank, he fell. He lay still, and her feet, he sank, he fell. Where he sank, there he fell. Dead. Father, in the name of Jesus, we bless your holy name for the opportunity that we have with your word, the opportunity that we have in your presence to learn at your feet this morning. Father, we thank you for this privilege. Thank you for mothers that we have in our lives. Thank you for what mothers have done, what they are doing, what they will yet do. Thank you for mothers that you are raising in this place. Thank you for men that you are raising, to appreciate mothers, to raise mothers to be. We thank you in the name of Jesus. We bless your name, Almighty God, for bringing us together. And we ask, O God, that your word will run swiftly in this place. We ask, O God, that it will be mighty, it will grow mightily, it will prevail in the name of Jesus. We ask that you will shine light upon our hearts in Jesus' name. Let there be deliverance in the name of Jesus. Let there be healing in the name of Jesus. Let people lay hold of their possessions this morning in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Spirit of the living God, please take your place in our midst and let Jesus be glorified in Jesus' name. Amen. Please have your seat. I'm going to sing a song, but you can just go ahead and see it. It says, please, if you am a good singer in Jesus' name, please help me. It says, just one passion, one purpose is to know you more and more. When I know you, I'll find me. Just one passion, one purpose. Can we take that one more time? Just one passion, one purpose.
Just one passion,
one purpose,
one purpose.
To know you more and more. When I know you, I'll find me. No life outside you. No one beside you. Let me know. Not just this morning service, but Lord, all our lives, O God, our cries that we will know you more, that we will know you, O God, that we will live for you, our Father. We ask that you will draw us closer this morning. Open our eyes more, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Shine light in the name of Jesus. Let us love you more this morning. There's something that love does. When we love someone, we want to spend time with the person. Father, help us. Draw us closer this morning. Draw us closer. Shine your light, O God. Let confusion be gone. Let ignorance be gone. Let light come. Let understanding come. In the name of Jesus, help us to know you, because we know that when we know you, we will find ourselves. We will lay hold of ourselves. We'll begin to understand ourselves. We will understand what our pursuit in life should be. We will understand why we need to draw closer to you, why we need our mouth to be close to you, our ears to be close to your mouth. All of those things will no longer be laws, but Lord, they will be reality. They will be revelation, and we will do them effortlessly. Lord, help this morning, we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Amen. All right, so you're going to allow me, because I have something written here for ladies. It's not really a poem, it's a piece. I think it's long, but I'm going to take the liberty to read it out, okay? So please, mothers, enjoy this. And I'm also reading it out. I want men also, because there are men here that love mothers, right? We love their wives. We love you. Love your daughters that you are raising. Amen. So for the lovers of mothers, for the lovers of wives, for the mothers themselves, mothers in waiting, I have something written out here for you. I say, women, ladies, mothers and mothers in waiting, congratulations to you all. There is a place God has arranged for each of us, and there is also sufficient grace. I know this is Surpassing Grace Assembly, right? So you understand what sufficient grace is and surpassing grace. There is grace that is released to you as mothers, amen, to occupy and to function in the place where God has ordained for you, amen. I'm asking that the Lord will help you to discover and fully utilize this grace daily in the name of Jesus. Women are great partners with God. We've always been great partners, extending the frontiers of God's kingdom. You are dependable allies in wars, in crisis particularly, as we will see. You know, I hope we have the time to see a bit of that. God depends on you, women, to provide what is lacking that he has chosen in his wisdom not to supply through men. Amen. We celebrate mothers and motherhood. You have a tremendous impact on the world we live in. You need to believe that. We are grateful for the Deborahs who are significantly living out there in the public. We are grateful more so for the Jahels that look weak, but they are amazingly strong. Amen. God used Jahel to end a long-standing war of over 20 years, or about 20 years, according to Judges 4:17. Dear ladies, mothers, you are very pivotal to the success of your children, your husband, your church, your community, your country, your family. You are very important to the Lord Jesus and to our world. And women, you really need to believe that, that you are important. You are pivotal. Amen. You are very, very important. You know, Pastor Bukola said it earlier on, and Pastor even said it, where will we be? We'll still be in Garden of Eden, but we are here. And the truth is, what women bring to bear, we can't overemphasize it. You are important. I know that the theme of this year's International Women's Day is, I don't know if anyone can still remember, embracing equity, I believe. But what we are talking about this morning is beyond embracing equity. It is way beyond it. You have a very important place even in Nigeria. You have a very important place in your home. You are important in God's scheme of things. Please take your position. Take your stand. Discover your place. Lay hold of the grace that is supplied. Occupy your place like Shama. Own your place. To the amazing company of women God is raising up in this assembly and in this generation throughout the earth today, may each of you find your God-ordained path. May you find your road to destiny. May you find your unique voice. May you leap over every hurdle in the strength of his might. May you be full of the heart and the mind of Christ in Jesus' name. May you be bold and courageous in the face of every adversity. May your children rise and call you blessed. May your husband praise you. May the work of your hands praise you in the gates in Jesus' name. We celebrate you now and forever. Amen. Happy Mother's Day to you all. God bless you. Amen. So I'm just going to go straight up into what we have. We've read Judges 5, 24 to 27. I'm going to take some time to look into that. But I want you to understand the reason why we are going through this route. Why are we looking? I've titled this The Strong Woman. I've titled my message this morning, The Strong Woman. And this is applicable to men also. Like I said earlier on, men are here raising mothers. Men are here loving up on mothers. They have mothers, they have wives. So what I'm going to be sharing is very applicable to everybody, not just the women alone. So everybody has something. And I might not even be using woman, you know. I'm just going to talk as if I'm talking to the whole house, because I really am talking to the whole house. So I have a couple of scriptures here, but I want to say to myself, or maybe you are asking, why are we looking at the strong woman? Why are we looking at the life of Jahel, for instance? Why are we looking at her life? I'm sensing that the mercy of God is what is coming to some of us this morning. I sense that there is an urgency in the spirit to make some corrections, to make some adjustments, amen. And as this message comes, you're going to just see, the Lord is going to be highlighting for you what you need to work upon, what you need to edit, what you need to change. So I just want your hearts to be open. This is just the mercy of God. The Lord painted two pictures before me concerning today's message, and that's a picture of Zipporah. Zipporah, the wife of Moses. The scripture says at some point, Moses was dying before her face. He was going. Her husband was going. She was going to be left with her children without husband. And nobody likes that to happen, right? Thank God for the urgency, the sensitivity in the spirit that woman sensed. And she quickly, also because I'm sure her husband has been working with her and they've been having communications. The husband had told her that, see, this God has cut a covenant with me. This God has said we have to circumcise our sons. But Moses was delaying. He was dilly-dallying in doing it. And when the Lord came, and the Lord was going to kill his servants, because our God is a God of justice and is a God of love. Amen? He will not condone us, you know, when he needs to be strict on us. So when the Lord came, he was going to kill Moses. Zipporah saw what was going on. I'm going to become a widow in few hours or weeks time or days time. She quickly ran, took the knife. The Bible says she took the flint knife. She circumcised her son, what she probably would not have done if she had been in her right senses. Is this? Okay? But she did it and took the foreskin and threw it at her husband's feet. And then Moses revived. Moses got up again. Moses became alive again. Life returned back to him because God was taking breath out of his life, out of his nostrils, you know, almost. So Zipporah, it was the mercy of God that came to Zipporah that morning. I believe the mercy of God, that same mercy is coming to some of us this morning. Zipporah got up and do what she needed to do. I see the another person's story that came to mind is the gardener. I don't know if you remember that story. That's in Luke 13, 8 to 9, but I'm not going to open to it. The gardener, you know, the owner of the tree or the garden came around and said, "What is this tree doing here? Why is this tree occupying space for how many years? It's been here, it's not producing, it's just taking space. For what? Why? Because God is a businessman, if you understand my English. God wants productivity. God wants fruitfulness in our lives. Amen. He wants to see things. He's not allowing you here on earth, the grace of God, the mercy of God. Several things are coming your way. People are blessing you. You can say you are not where you're supposed to be. You can say, you know, I expect the Lord to do this for me. He hasn't done it. But the truth is you have so much already coming your way. And the Lord expects that with what you have been given, you should also be productive. So the gardener and the owner of the farm came around. And the owner said, "What's this tree doing here? What exactly? We need to just cut this thing off and uproot it." And the gardener, you know, pled. He said, "Please allow it one more year. Let it stay. Say one more year." He said, "One more year." He said, "I will dig around it and I will dung it. I will dig around it. I will put fertilizer on it. I will dig around it. I will remove the clutter, all the distractions in its life. I'm going to remove it. Everything that is not making it produce, I'm going to remove it. All the confusion, all the, you know, comparing ourselves with another person, comparing himself with another person, looking for what is not lost." He said, "I'm going to remove all of those things. Please just allow it. One more year, I promise you. I will dig around, I will dung it, I'll put dung on it, I will put fertilizer and it's going to grow. If after that time it doesn't produce, do anything you want to it." But that was the mercy of the gardener. And the owner of the farm heard, said, "Okay, I'm going to allow you. You've pled, I'm going to allow you." So I believe this morning that mercy of God is coming to us. And it is important that we listen and, you know, take what is yours, because everything is not going to be for everybody. Amen. There was a time that should be like 15 years ago. It should be 2008. My daughter was maybe like 4 or 5. I can't remember. My husband took my daughter to the salon. He wanted to go and make his cut his hair, and he took my daughter with him to the place. And while he was having the hair cut, another friend of ours in the neighborhood, but we weren't. The wives, myself and the man's wife, we are friends, but our husbands are not really friends, but they talk. So my husband was cutting, they were cutting his hair, and this other man too was there. And the Lord was conversing with that other person. The Lord was saying to him that, "See this man." Of course, they knew each other. He said, "See this man, this girl that is holding in his hands like this will never enter into our purpose, into our destiny, if they do not embrace what I'm asking them to do." We're in Lagos that time. But at that time, the Lord was talking to us to move to Abuja to go and start a church work. And I did not want to hear that. Somehow I knew my husband might be going into ministry before we married. And I asked him when I met him. I said, "By any chance, are you going to go into ministry?" He said he was not very sure. I said, "Because me, I do not want to be a pastor. I don't want to be a pastor. Okay. I don't even want to marry a pastor, talk less of being a pastor. Look at me now, I'm the one pastoring." He left the work with me like this. I said, "Sure, you don't want to marry a pastor. Carry the pastor work. Now you man go do it." Now he's left me with the pastoral work. So then when he started sensing that the Lord was asking him to get up and, you know, embrace ministry, and he would say it to me, I didn't want to hear. And so he couldn't talk to me so much about it. We were just talking about discussing other things we'll not discuss. But I guess the Lord was losing his patience with the two of us, and the Lord needed us to move. It was his mercy that made my husband go to that place that day, took my daughter, and this other man saw or heard the conversation that the Lord was having, and then spoke to my husband that, "See, Oga, I think God is saying something to you." And the Lord said, "It is you, that if they leave it to your wife, when you say jump, your wife will say, how high?" When they brought that report back home, I'm like, "God, do you know, I wasn't like that. I told you now that I was the one that didn't allow him to even talk." But God, you know, and that is the thing about the prophetic. God is full of mercy, full of love. The way he was seeing me is that this woman is a very cooperative woman, but I wasn't cooperative at that time. But that was what the person said, that God said, if you people don't move, these children will not step into their purpose. Some of the reason we're going to look at the life of Jahel, and, you know, we're going to learn some things, a couple of things from her life as a strong woman. If you are here as a woman, if you are here as a man, if you do not rise up and live your life fully the way the Lord has intended it for you, you are going to deny one or two persons, and maybe basically your children. I'm going ahead of myself now, but the very first thing that I want to say to you is, for Jahel, when we look into this When we look into Judges 5, I'll read from verse 24 again. It said, most blessed among women is Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite. The wife of Heber the Kenite. They took time to tell us our identity. The first weapon that a man or a woman has in life is who the man is, who the woman is. What is your identity? Who exactly are you? Who are you in reference to God? Who are you? Have you found yourself? When, you know, Jesus is called the cornerstone, meaning this is the cornerstone. Every other thing, take their definition from this cornerstone. When you are building a house, cornerstone will usually be put in a corner like this. They measure everything, every other block. They measure it by how that cornerstone is standing. So in reference to Christ, in reference to God, who are you? What is your identity? That's the first thing that we see about Jael. I'm looking at Jael and I'm saying Jael is a strong woman. Why? Because I can look at some scriptures. Please, can I have Hebrews 11:34? Hebrews 11:34 is talking about people of... can we see Hebrews 11:34, please? We're talking about the heroes of faith and some of the things that, some of their characteristics. He said, some of them, they quenched the violence of fire. They escaped the edge of the sword out of weakness. And that's where I'm coming to. Out of weakness, they were made strong. They became valiant in battle. They turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Amen. They became... out of weakness, they received strength. They fought, and then they became strong. That is defining Jael for you and I. I read something to you people before. If you look at, usually we mix up, when you say a woman is strong, some of the things that comes to your mind is the woman must be somebody that is very bold, very courageous, you know, she can talk, she does not afraid to voice her mind. Even when a man is there, she can challenge the man, right? So at times we say that is a strong woman. She is very, and some of us don't want to be like that because we want to be Christian mothers, right? We don't want to be viewed as this one that can talk to anybody. She can't take any nonsense. She can confront. She can, you know, control people. She is dominating. She is domineering. That is at times what the picture that we see of a strong woman. And you can say that Deborah, fits into that picture. But Jael, you will not say Jael fits into that picture, right? Because Jael, you know, Deborah, if you read Judges 4 from verse 4, it will tell you Deborah was there. She was a wife. She was a prophetess. She was a wife of this person, and she was judging Israel at that time. And people will come to Deborah. She will counsel them. She will tell them the mind of the Lord. At some point, she summoned Barak. Barak would be the, you know, head of military. Called him and said, see, I sense that the Lord is saying you should go to battle. Take like 10,000 men. Go to battle. God said he's going to give you victory. And Barak said, ma, I'm not going. Except you go with us. And Deborah told her, see me, I'm supposed to be saying Deborah, but allow me. Okay, so Deborah told him that, okay, if you want me to go with you, I'll go with you. But I just need you to know that you will not have any glory in this battle. Because God will give the glory to a woman. And that was where Jael came in. So they went to this battle. So you can see Deborah like that, strong-willed woman, a woman that knew what she wanted. She could talk. She could call the head of a military and say, these are the things we need to do. And that one said, if you will go with me, I'll be confident to go. If you will not go with me, I'm not going. Deborah said, no problem, I'll go with you. So if you look at that picture, you say, yes, this is a strong woman. But by God's definition, a strong woman, a strong man, is someone that has found his purpose in God. Because what Deborah did, she did it because she wanted to fulfill the purpose of God for her life. She didn't lead anybody. She didn't judge the Israelites because she needed to prove a point to anybody. She wasn't proving a point that what a man can do, a woman can do better. She wasn't proving a point to anybody. She was fulfilling the purpose of God. To be a strong man, to be a strong woman, the most important thing is, do you know what the purpose of God for your life is? And if you don't know it, because that thing can be a very broad topic and people just shy away from it, I don't know it, so maybe I will not do anything. Whatever your hand finds to do, begin to do. So the first point that I want us to learn, that we are learning rather, from Jael, as we see in this verse 24 of Judges 5, is our identity. I need you to know, let's flip quickly to chapter 4. You'll get to see that this Jael that helped Israelites to begin to win this war, she had nothing to do with Israel. Jael was not an Israelite. Let's see verse 17 of Judges 4. Okay, 17 says, however, Sisera had fled away on foot to the tent of Jael, the wife of Heber the Kenite, for there was peace between Jabin, king of Hazor, and the house of Heber the Kenite. Is anybody seeing what I'm saying? So this battle that was raging when Jael got introduced was none of our business. Jael was not an Israelite. Amen? She had nothing to do with these people. Let's say I'm from Ikene. Let's say there's a battle, God forbid, between Ikene people and Ilishan people. The two villages are close to each other in Ogun State. Ikene and Ilishan. Now, if you have someone that is on the side of Ikene, you would expect that the person that is from Ilishan will not want to help these people, right? Will not want to help the Ikene people and the allies of Ikene people. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? So Jael had no business with Israelites' battle. This battle was strictly between the Canaanites and Israelites. But the scripture says in this verse 17 to us that there was peace between Jabin. Jabin is the, let's say the president of the Canaanites. Sisera is his chief of military. Is anybody understanding what I'm saying? Jabin is the president. Sisera is the main man, military guy. So the scripture says here that Sisera, the head of military, when the battle became very tough, he fled. He left the field. He left the battlefront. And he was running because it was looking like they were going to kill him. So he left the battlefront and he was running away. He now got into somebody's house or around somebody's house, which happened to be Jael's house. Jael is supposed to be an ally with this Sisera. They are supposed to be together. The two of them from two different, let's say, towns or countries, they are supposed to be enemies to the Israelites. But this will make us know that Jael was just a Kenite in name, but truly her heart was with the God of Israel. Because she helped the Israelites to pin this man down. So the scripture says here that there was peace between the Kenites and Canaanites. Between the people of Sisera and Jael, there was peace. And that was why Sisera could come into her house. Because as he was running, Jael saw him and said, sir, come into my house. Don't be afraid. We are on the same side. They are our enemy. We are together. Come into this house. Don't worry. I'll make you comfortable. And so she made him comfortable. Gave him, laid him somewhere. Gave him blanket to cover himself. This man asked for water because he was thirsty and running. Asked for water. Jael was like, I've got something better than water. I'll give you milk. But she knew what she was planning. Her identity was with the people of Israel. She was just bearing Kenites by name. Amen? Her allegiance was to the God of Israel. And she did something. God was able to leverage on her to end a war that started like 20 years before that time. That she had no business in. But she made herself available to God. So her identity to be. So I'm saying to you that Jael, she portrays a picture. She gives us or demonstrates a picture of a strong person. Jael herself was just a housewife. Jael was a tent maker. She wasn't a strong person, quote and unquote, like Deborah. Deborah was commander in chief. She was controlling men, telling them what to do, what not to do, leading in the public arena. Jael was back at home. You might be here and you are saying, I would have been doing something for the Lord if I was, occupying a big position in my office, if my husband maybe respects me, if my husband thinks highly of me, at times when I'm bringing suggestion, he will not take it. See, the first point of call is to know who you are in God. is to know who you are. Somebody might be there and saying, wow, this woman, she's preaching. See, preaching and holding microphone is not what. There are plenty of people that are not holding microphone and they are making influence. And that is what God wants. You might have been raised up as an apostle in the marketplace. Amen. I'm sure there are captains of industries here. Our children that we are raising, all these girls, the boys that we are raising, the moms, the dads that are here, the brothers, the sisters, the uncles and aunties that are here. They are captains of industries that are in this place. It's not until we hold mic. There are people that the Lord has raised up. The Lord is raising up. The Lord will yet raise up in the marketplace. That the Lord will raise up in the homes. That the Lord will raise up in our community. You might have your neighborhood. There is a level of what exactly is being a strong woman and leading. Leadership, John Maxwell has said it several times, it is about influence. You can influence. Anybody can influence anybody. But your first point of call is to understand, where am I with God? That song that we sang earlier on, say, God, let me, when I know you, I will find myself. The first place to begin to knowing yourself is to go after God. The scripture says it is in your own light that we see light. It is as we look at you that we understand ourselves. The first place, Psalm 36 verse 9, it says you are the fountain of life. It is in your light that we see life. Daniel 11:32 says those that know their God, they will be strong, they will do exploit. You want to do exploit like Jahel? You want to do exploit like Deborah? You have to know your God. That's what Daniel 11:32 says. Those that know their God, they are the ones that will do exploits. If you don't know God, you can't know yourself. The enemy will bamboozle you. The enemy will deceive you. The enemy will tell you your own is too much. Amen? But when you begin to know God, there's a level of confidence that comes. The Lord begins to show you things of the pictures that he has for you, the plans that he has for you. The Lord begins to back you up. He begins to put confidence on the inside of you so that you can go on, discover more and more of yourself. It is as we know God that we know ourselves. So the first point of call I wanted to write down is know your identity. These are part of the things we're going to be engaging in. I'm trusting God. You know, the rest of the month of May, you're going to just pray it and say, God, help me to know myself better. You might have been a Christian for maybe 3 months, 6 months, 10 years. Some of us have grown a bit and then we stopped growing. Some of us are not pursuing God anymore. There is no more excitement in your journey with the Lord. Something has happened. You still have to continue, start from where you are and continue with your pursuit of God. The first point of call is that you know God. When you know God, you get to know more and more of yourself. Amen. Psalm 1 verse 3 says, you need to be like a tree that is planted by the rivers of water. And then you can bring forth your fruits in due season. Everything you lay your hands upon, the scripture says, it will prosper. Isaiah 37 verse 31 says you need to take roots downwards. Take roots downwards. That is part of what I'm asking you to do today. Your number one point is know your identity. Increase in your knowledge of God. Take your roots downwards so that you can bear fruit. When your root is going down, you are looking at yourself as a tree. The more your root is going down, piercing the sand, piercing the stone, going down, and you are becoming deep and deep, more much more deeper, in your root. You are sinking into the ground. Then that tree will grow and it can bear fruits. We see some trees that when breeze blow, you just find out that the tree is maybe broken, the branches, or at times it gets rooted out of the ground. It is because it hasn't taken root downward sufficiently. They say that a stone that continues to roll and roll and roll, it doesn't gather moss. It doesn't amount to much. So I'm talking to somebody this morning. I want you to make up your mind that, in fact, it's about time I begin to get serious with God. I want to just increase in my communion, in my fellowship, in my pursuit of God. Amen. The stone that continues to roll and roll is not consistent. It's not stable. You have a church such as this where, I was just falling in love sitting here. When we started, I was telling Setman that we do this. And then I saw you do him. I'm like, wow, except God stops me. I'm going to just, well, of course, we don't do it like that. But, I was just pulling everything in that was going on, enjoying great fellowship. You have a great place in this place. What is left for you is to allow your roots go down. Settle down. Please, let me tell your neighbor, settle down. Settle into this place. so that you can grow, so that you can know God, you can know yourself. Begin from where you are right now. Let's not be, what do you call these people now? People that are like gypsies that are not settled. You know, they are not committed to anything. We see you, we don't see you, nomadic. You don't stay very well. We see you today, 2 weeks, we will not see you. See, there is life that is beyond what you have experienced, though. You are growing. So, some people that are not yet married will get married. You will have children. You will recognize that there are challenges of life. And it is not when those challenges, they said it's in the time of peace that you prepare for war. It is not when war comes. It is not when you want to get married. You are looking for pastor. Is it Francis I should say yes to? Is it Adams I should say yes to? It is now. It is how you begin to learn how to hear God. You know, I had someone, you know, in my church at some point, she became bitter with her mom. She said, because she got divorced, she gave birth to 2 children. And within 3 years, the marriage hit the rock. And when she was in Port Harcourt, so when she came over to our church and I was asking her, your husband, she said, we've divorced. And she said it, I'm bitter with my mom. I said, why? She said, because when it was time for me to marry, there was another person that was coming. I was more interested in that one. But I did not know who to marry out of the 2 of them, actually. So I told my mom to help me pray. My mom or her mom could not pray. Guess what the mom did? Mom took it to the mom's pastor. So the mom's pastor now said, choose A. They chose A. 3 years down the line, the marriage has scattered. She was still angry with her mom. I said, girl, you have to wake up and accept responsibility for your failure. Stop putting blame on your mother. If you knew how to hear God, will you take it to your mom? If your mom knew how to hear God, will she take it to her pastor? Are you seeing what I'm saying? So if you are here, you want to marry, you want to do a business, you might say, okay, me, I've gone past marriage and my marriage is great. There are seasons in life or even in marriage. You need God any which way. Any which way you want to look at it, you want to look at it from the left, you need God. The earlier you started getting serious with God, the better for you and for the rest of us. Because if you are not serious, you know, as in plus the rope, and the chicken on top of the rope, both of them will not be okay. They won't be all right. And the truth is, if you are not all right, you will be calling pastor. Pastor Muiwa will be praying. Sister Bukola will be doing all night. God forbid in Jesus' name. So please, we need to grow. Plus, if you were supposed to take a particular job or business and you miss it, you don't know what would have come into the kingdom if you were well positioned. So the gains are enormous. And you will have a beautiful life. There is nothing that can come to you in God except goodness. There is nothing that the enemy wants to give to you that is good. That is the truth of it. He wants us to be shallow. He wants us not to be serious with God. He will tell you they are too fanatical. They are too serious with God. Are we the one that killed Jesus? See, the issue when it comes to divorce, I don't even pray it happens to you. If you understand the nitty-gritty of it, you won't even pray it for some of your enemies. That's the truth. So marriage is one. Raising children, having money in your pocket. Bible says money answers all things, right? Yeah. Money is important. It's not as important as Jesus, but Jesus is the author of it. The Bible says he became poor so that you and I can be what? But the devil can still cheat you out of that. Jesus has paid the punishment already. The Bible says the chastisement necessary for my peace has been laid upon him. He has served the punishment. Is it fair that after he served the punishment, I will still not inherit what he got punished for? Is it fair? But several of us are doing that to Jesus because we will not settle down with Jesus. We will not settle down to know. You have to know. This thing, set man said it, that's the irony of life. People say they want to have faith, and yet no time to study the Bible, no time to come for beautiful gathering like this, and you are here in Lagos. Set man, I didn't even know church was here. I used to come to Ogudu. Really, gate A, I told you, that's where I'm returning to. Even my children, my son will be coming here in, I think, July. He's doing A-levels in Lagos. So, you know, I was just happy being here. You know, I won't force, but, you know, they have to be coming here. Amen. 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 Because you really have a beautiful place in here. You have a beautiful, the angels of God in here are happy. Amen. You have something great going on. Please take it seriously. Know your identity. That's the first thing I want you to learn. We realize that from Jael, she wasn't a Kenite, she was Kenite by name, but in her mind of mind, she was an Israelite. Amen. Number two, know and embrace your process. I'm really jumping now. Know and embrace your process in life. You have to know your process and embrace it. Verse 24b says, blessed is she, that is Jael, among women in the tent. She was a tent maker. She was an housewife. She wasn't in the big offices and controlling and flying from place to place. She was just minding her children, taking care of the house, planning meals and menus and all of those things. And it might look mundane that I'm just an ordinary housewife. There is nothing ordinary in what God has called you to do. There is nothing. The Lord Jesus said in Matthew 11:17, after he fed them with bread and they ate, he said, gather up the fragments, gather up the leftovers, let nothing be wasted. There is nothing wasteful in your life. Whatever process that you are going through, the good, the bad, the ugly, all the things happening in your life, God is using every single thing for everything. He's using it for several things. So you have to love your process. Don't hate your process. Don't say, if only my life, you know, turned out like Sister Bukola's own, you know, I would have really been following Jesus, but I don't even understand what, my life is not so exciting. You have to wake up and love your life. People might not love what your life is, but you don't have a choice than to love it. You might say, well, I want more. And that is, it's good for you to be ambitious. It's very, you know, I never used to believe that ambition is a very good thing. It was my husband that taught me. The ambition can be bad and it can, but there is a good part to it. That you are desirous. You want to get ahead. You want more in life. It's okay. So if you look at your life and you say, well, I'm not so thrilled by my life. But for you to, if you want that life to improve and get better, you have to love it the way you are right now first. Love it. Accept it that this is where I am. So that God can begin to, because if you don't love it, if you don't treasure it, you will not even be interested in whatever the Lord is saying to you to move you forward. Love yourself at the level where you are and then begin to listen. Let your ears be at the mouth of God so that as you walk with the Lord, you can keep moving forward and moving forward. If you dedicate yourself another 6 months to really pursuing the Lord, okay, I'm going to go ahead and know who I am. I'm going to deepen my identity. I'm going to take my roots downwards. I'm going to stay close, maybe to Pastor Muiwa and the leaders in the house. I'm going to ask them, what is there to be done? I want to be useful. I want to be accountable. These people will lead you well, because the scripture says, those that have those that are leading among us, they are worthy of double honor. As you look into their lives, can you see the fruits in their lives? And you can see these lives are worth emulating, worth following. Settle down and allow them lead you. The scripture says the Lord brought Israel out of Egypt through a prophet. By a prophet, he led them. Amen? God does not leave his children without leaders. That vagabond spirit in the church, or well, maybe not in the church. It is not in the church in Jesus' name. But in the generation that wants people, that makes people say, I'm a man of my own. I build myself. You don't want anybody correcting you. You don't want anybody dictating what you should do, what you shouldn't do. It is meant for your downfall. It's not bringing any good to anybody. Amen. Settle down. Settle down. Embrace the leaders that the Lord has put ahead of you. If you will give yourself to these things, within 6 months, 1 year, you will love the traction that you are making, the progress that you are making, that they won't need to tell you again to follow. Amen. So number one, know your identity. Get deeper in Christ. Follow God. As you know God, as you follow with him, as you fellowship with him, he's going to shine his light into your hearts. The Lord Jesus was preaching in that John 12 that we read earlier on. After he preached, he was saying, eat my flesh, eat my flesh. They said, no, we don't want to be, is he carnivorous? And they were going to go away. The Lord Jesus says, see, the words that I speak to you, they are spirit and they are life. If you stay with my words, you will be transformed. You will change. You will grow. You will come into more. You will be increased. Amen. The word of God brings productivity, brings fruitfulness. There is no way you will stay with the word of God and you will not increase. That is the truth. So after a while, the Lord Jesus said to them, you know, because they said, Jesus, everybody is leaving, you know. This thing that you are saying that we should drink blood, your blood, and eat your flesh is angering people. Jesus said, do you people too want to leave? But they said, no. They said, to who do we go? We have come to recognize that with you is the word of life. Meaning, as you speak, more life happens to us. As you speak, light is coming to us. We are increasing, we are expanding, we are enlarging. Amen?
As you stick with the Lord, you realize that you're taking more life. So number two, know and embrace your process. There is nothing that is wasted in your life. The scripture says in Titus 3, 4 to 8, you can write it out. It says, older women were to teach the younger ones to love their husbands. Not to nag the husbands, or not to be doing royal rumble. It says, teach them to love their children, to live wisely, to be pure, to walk in their homes, to do good, to be submissive to their husbands. It says, then they will not bring shame to the word of the Lord. What I'm saying is, everything in your life can be used by other people. You might think you're an ordinary wife. You are just selling plastics in the market. Maybe you are a school teacher. In fact, I'm not even teaching secondary school. I'm teaching primary school. Or maybe I'm teaching nursery people. Please value what you have. Value it. Value your trainings. Jael was a tent maker. But she knew, if you read the NLT, verse 26 of this, Judges chapter 5, verse 26 of it in the NLT says, with her left hand, she took the tent peg. And then with her right hand, she took the hammer. And she, you know, when you want to nail something. So you learn to hold the nail like this, put it down, and then get hammer and hit it. That was what she did to this enemy of the people of God. She had a tent peg. That was what she was using at home. Amen. You might say her profession, her career is not a very fantastic one. She's not working in a bank. She's not wearing high heel shoe. But that thing that she was doing at home was enough for God. This war, 20 years, God leveraged on that woman. God did not need to go and look for another person. The day God wants to leverage on you, may you not be found wanting in Jesus' name. May you know your skills enough, good enough, that God will be able to use it. If this woman had not, if you read KJV, you won't see it there. But NLT says she took peg with her left hand. She took hammer with her right hand. You must know how to combine, being skillful at what you are doing. If it is hairdressing, if it is tailoring, you know, the Lord says, see a man that is diligent in his work. He will stand before kings and not ordinary men. Whatever your process is, whatever you are going through in life, whatever, activities, value everything. Value it. God is not our God is a very intentional God. Everything he does, everything is leading to everything. Everything is joined to everything. There is nothing like spiritual life and then secular life. It's all a lie. Everything is together. Amen? So please value your processes. Value it. You might be an housewife right now. God might be able to use you maybe 2 years time, 6 months down the line to counsel another young couple that will probably, you know, they might eat divorce if you don't bring your own wisdom to bear. So something in you can transfer to other people. If you have a skill, work on it, hone your skills very well so that it can be transferable, it can be monetized, it can be scaled up. Amen. Let's not stay little. You can't even stay with God and, you know, stay little, except you are not working with God. Because the Spirit of God will ginger you. The Spirit of God will stir you up. Amen. Okay, lastly, I want to say, number three, embrace your challenges. I'm going to ask you now, you will tell me the three things, though. I've rushed, but I know we got some things. You know, the mother of Moses, she was just taking care, she knew how to take care of babies. She had taken care of Aaron. I don't know who is the first one again. Miriam, Abby. Miriam is the first one. She had taken care of Miriam. She had taken care of Aaron. You might say what I'm doing is just raising small children, you know. I want to be in a bank and take care of, I want to be signing checks. You don't know who God is raising in your house. The Lord raised three leaders from Jochebed's house. She raised Miriam. She raised Aaron. She raised Moses. Three great leaders, only her, Jochebed. She might look and not value what she has, but when Pharaoh's daughter was looking for somebody to take care of the baby, they had to go and call her that this woman knows how to take care of children. Montessori training, she's very good at it. She can take care of, it's true. I heard of somebody that said she went abroad to do what do they call that, sabbatical, just quickly do it for 6 months and come back. But she, after she finished it, the 6 months, she didn't want to come back. She really wished she could stay back, but she didn't have any other job extended, so she had to come back. That I can't stay here, because if you think of the rent, 1 month rent, like UK, I know, it's about 1.2, 1. You know, what you pay one year here, that's what some of them pay 1 month. That's the truth over there. So she said, I can't stay here except I have a job. That was how someone needed someone to take care of a child. And they just called her because she knew how to take care of children. That was how she got that job. And she lived. They did everything for her, did the work permit, everything, just because she knew how to take care of children, like the mother of Moses. Moses, Pharaoh's daughter, said, "Madam, take this child. Take care of him. I will pay you. I will reward you. You might be at home. You are taking care of those children. God is saying to you, I will pay you. I will reward you. Take care of them well. Because you are doing something that might not look very, very big right now. But you are raising people. You don't know, maybe the Lord is raising a Daniel in your house. He might be raising the next Buhari in your house. Amen. He might be raising the next CBN governor in your house. Please take it seriously, whatever it is that you are doing. Number three, the last one, embrace your challenges. I'm rounding up now. Embrace your challenges. This woman, I'm sure she would have had fear and trepidation inside her when she realized, wow, this is the most wanted. Everybody was, Deborah called Barak. He said, "I know that God has spoken to you, but I'm suspecting that you are afraid to hear God and obey God. So God said it to me too. So I'm confirming to you now that God said, take 10,000 soldiers with you and go to war." God said, "I will bring Sisera, myself, to this place, and I will give him over to you." What more assurance do you need as a person? But Barak was too afraid. She said, Madam Deborah, I am not going there. I'm not sure I want to run that errand for God. Thank God for the mercy of God. But this person that Barak was afraid to confront, when this same person came into Jael's house, and it started being stirred up in her heart that the Lord would have you take out this man so that this war can begin to come to an end. I'm sure she had fears in her heart, but she responded. She gave him milk, covered him up. The scripture says after the man had slept or dozed off because he was tired, she tiptoed, got the tent, got the armor, nailed him to the ground and killed him. And if you read through the scripture says they started to win their battles over the Canaanites. That was the beginning of the end. And the Lord did it through this woman. Amen. So I want to say to you, embrace your challenges. I'll leave you with few scriptures. 2 Corinthians 4:17. It says that the problems that we go through, the challenges we go through, and a translation says they are small potatoes. They are small compared to the glory that will come. Some of us, as you postpone facing challenges, facing difficult situations, preaching them away, praying them away, you are just postponing your victories. That's the truth. If you read through chapter 3 of these Judges, please read through chapter 3. The scripture says that the Lord left some enemies of the Israelites because he wanted to teach them how to battle. Our Father delights in teaching his children to battle. Amen? God does not want you to be purposeless. He doesn't want you to be people that cannot engage. You cannot face battles. You can't be confrontational. You are running away. You don't see. The scripture says these challenges that we face, they are nothing compared to the exceeding and eternal weight of glory that is awaiting us. Glory awaits you. As you embrace challenges, as you embrace difficult situations, don't run away from them. Pray that the Lord will help you. That is how to be strong. Being strong is not about showing off. It's not about proving a point to anybody. I want us to just bow down our heads and commit yourself to the Lord. There are three things that I've asked us to write down. The first thing is that you know your identity, and it's not something you do once. You have to keep at it. You are improving. You are knowing more. The Lord is shining light upon your heart. Ask that the Lord will help you to be committed to that. You want to know the Lord more. You want to draw closer. You want to stop being purposeless. You want to stop being like a desical. I want you to pray that the Lord will help you, and it's not a prayer of today alone. You're going to commit to it. I want to increasingly, know who I am. I want to embrace my processes, everything that God is doing in my life. I want to embrace it. You also want to embrace challenges. You don't want to run away from it because because as Goliath come into your life and you are able to bring it down, then your kingship is coming closer. Amen. I want you to pray that the Lord will help you, that you will not run from challenges in Jesus' name. You will not run. You will not run. You will embrace it. You will be like a war horse. A war horse runs to the battle. He does not shy away from battle. He runs towards it. He's excited for battles. He's saying, this is the reason for which I was given birth to. This is why I'm here on the earth. I want to run to the battle because I know as I bring down the head of the Goliath, there is kingship for me. There is promotion for me. There is increase for me. You are drawing closer and closer into the purpose of God for your life. I wanted to just pray that the Lord will help you, that you will not be lily livered. When the Lord is wanting to count on you, wanting to leverage on you, you'll be able to say, yes, Lord, ride on my back in the name of Jesus.